but babes in Christ. Loved one, listen. The thing is that dullness of hearing, and they love that baby sermons, if you will. You know, they like, remember what I told you one time? They like those longhorn sermons, you know, 2 points with a bunch of bull in the middle, you know? You know what I mean? And so forth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day and welcome. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of Hebrews. Today, in the first part of Pastor Bill's study, we're going to look at the symptoms of spiritual immaturity and the urgent need to move beyond the basics of faith. It's a serious warning to not become stagnant and how that hinders our spiritual growth. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's message, The Third Warning.
This morning, the title of the sermon is The Third Warning, Part 1. So we've moved into an area in Hebrews now. You remember there are 5 warnings in Hebrews. And these warnings have terrified believers, and in one way they should. But when it comes to losing your salvation, you should not, okay? Now, so these 5 warnings, some of the strongest passages found in the New Testament. And the third warning that we're coming to begins in verse 11, but it runs all the way through chapter 6, verse 20, okay? So this is part 1 of the message. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, if we're still here, if we're not home with the Lord, then I'm going to move into chapter 6, one of the most severe warnings found in the Word of God. Most people jump over chapter 6, okay? And I say that not as a judgment. I wouldn't mind jumping over it myself, but that's not what God wants. We teach through the Word of God here, amen? You know, G. Morgan Campbell, a great expositor of the Word of God, if you have his library as I do, you'll notice when you come to the book of Hebrews that even though as great as an expositor, he was called the prince of expositors, by the way, he skips over chapter 6. And here is a man that would read a text 100 times before he ever put a pencil and paper together to write notes. He read it 100 times. So that shows you the severity of next week and what it holds. But this week we're going to look at the first part of this warning. And it's the danger, literally, for believers not to progress, not to grow up. In other words, matter of fact, it's the refusal to grow up almost. No, it is a refusal. Listen, if we're not growing up in Christ, who are we resisting? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who wants to take us from glory to glory. Amen? Absolutely. So with all that being said, remember, Hebrews is about finishing the race. It's about going on into maturity, no matter what they're facing. It's a letter of encouragement, Hebrews 13:22. The author writes it not to discourage these new Jewish believers, but to encourage them. Now, remember that the temple is still standing. Sacrifices are still being offered. And it's the destruction of Jerusalem is closing in by, of course, Rome. Now, with all that being said, this letter, which is written to believers, remember in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it calls them holy brethren. And then in verse 9 of chapter 6, it calls them beloved. That word is only used of those who are in Christ, those that are believers. Now, listen. This is about growing up into maturity, and we all must grow up, amen? So we're going to make a lot of applications about what the Jewish believers, they were facing, but also what we're facing as well. You know, there's nothing really better than growing up, amen? Come on, when you're young, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I'm 21. You know, oh, I can't wait. Well, you know what? I wish I was 18 again. You know what I mean? And know what I know now. But there are moments in your life, and what happens when we grow up, when we step out and we mature, it does something to you. It does something to you personally. You know, one of the greatest moments in my life, I'm talking about growing up. There I was that day, and I was facing the greatest foe in my life at that time, my shoestrings. I was 4 years old. And I was on the farm with my grandmother, who I loved dearly. I love that farm. And I didn't really, you know, if you grow up on a farm, do you wear shoes?
No.
Well, three of you knew that, but we didn't wear shoes back then. And you know, your feet, remember how tough they were? Man, you could walk on hot concrete, hot asphalt, and it would hurt the asphalt. So there I was in my grandmother's living room, and my older sister, Judy, not the one who raised me, Joanne, but Judy, another sister, I was crying. I could not tie those shoestrings. And there I was 4 years old. And she said, Billy, put your foot up there on that chair. And I did, and I had my shoe there. And she said, watch. And she'd do it and then untie it. Do it again, untie, practice. Then finally, I tried, I couldn't do it. But then it happened. Whenever I put that loop the right way and pulled it, something happened in me. I grew up. No, do you understand? Listen, I mean, I was the man. Do you understand? So there's something about growing up that is so wonderful for us. And so that's what we're faced with this morning as we look. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to be 35 years old and not be able to tie your shoestrings? Huh? Well, it's just as much of a tragedy for a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, all right, that's been a Christian a long time, but they don't grow up. They're still a baby. They're not mature. Now, that's bad, isn't it? Yeah, come on. So, with all that being said, let's begin then in verse 10. This is the introduction to the third warning, all right? Verse 10 says about God, how he called Jesus Christ, our Lord, as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom the writer says here, hey, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Now, of whom refers to Jesus Christ, again, our great high priest who is in heaven, in contrast with Melchizedek, who is the priest of the Most High God. Now, listen carefully. The writer now does something. He can't go on into chapter 7 and talk about Melchizedek in the contrast with our Lord. He can't do it because they're not listening. They're not hearing it the right way. So he digresses, if you will, and he says, listen, I have so much I want to tell you about the deep things, about our great high priest who is in heaven right now, who's in there for us right this minute. But he said, I can't do it because you got a hearing problem. Like it says in Hebrews 6:12, he says, you have lazy ears. You ever have lazy ears? How can ears be lazy? You know? In other words, sluggish, slow to understand. I think one of the early church fathers used the word dull. He said the word means stupid. Now, I didn't say that, but he did, okay? So the thing is that he could not do it because they had a hearing problem. And before you judge the first century Jewish believers, I think it's important that we kind of judge ourselves. Amen? A self-examination time. I mean, listen, in Hebrews 3:7, it says, therefore, the Holy Spirit says, today, right now, the sense of urgency, right this minute, today, if you hear his voice. How quickly are we, all of us, so susceptible to hearing not right things, but wrong things? Come on. The voice of the world is out there. The voice of strangers is out there. The voice of unbelief, the voice of the wicked one, and so forth. I mean, think about how quickly, not all of us, but think how quickly many Christians, boy, they open their ears so quickly. They can hear perfectly when people are gossiping. Thank you, Lord. I felt good about that, you know. No, listen, we don't want to do that. You know, verse 11 should be, in the church today, especially today, it should be a wake-up call to every Christian, each and every one of us, loved one. And you say, well, Bill, why are you saying that? Because if you'll notice in the scripture I just read, which I'll do it again, I have much to say, the writer says, hard to explain, since you, what? Have become dull of hearing. Spiritual dullness, listen to me now, at any age can happen. Spiritual dullness is gradual. It doesn't happen all at once. It says have become. What does that mean? It means that they were not always dull. They didn't start out dull. They became dull. They had progressed. Now they regress. What a horrible thing to be on your way and now you're back being a baby again. That's exactly what was happening. They were dull of hearing. They didn't want to grow up. Loved one, if you're not progressing in the faith, you're regressing in the faith. Amen? Now look at verse 12. He says, though by this time, Now, we don't know how much time, but he says, by this time, look what they should have been. You ought to be what? Teachers. The word ought means an obligation, okay? It speaks of an obligation we have. He says, by this time, man, listen, you guys should have been teachers, but you need someone to teach you what? One more time, to teach you again, which means they had already been taught. Let's look at it again. By this time, you need someone to teach you again what? The first principles are the elementary, the ABCs, okay? Go all the way back to the beginning. The elementary principles are the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, dullness did something. Their dullness stunted their spiritual growth. Like Paul just said, the author of the Hebrews, he said, man, by this time you ought to be teachers, but now you have to be retaught all over again. It would be like this. It's like Paul would be saying, or if I can, let's use an example. Okay, three or four of you, here's a problem. You shouldn't be in the chapel anymore. Because, you know, you have dull hearing. Here's what you're going to have to do. You should have been teachers by now, but you're not teachers by now. Head on over to the kids' church, okay? I want you to check in at the nursing mom's room for some of you. Others can go to the toddlers, you know. And you need to be taught the ABCs of the gospel and the good news all over again. Let them open those little storybooks with the pictures of Jesus in it. Sit in their lap. You know what I mean? Because they need milk. Now, that was true then, and it's also true today, isn't it? Yes, come on, guys. Listen, it says you ought to be teachers by now. You think that's just speaking about pastors? No, it's speaking to every believer. Every believer, you ought to be teachers by now. And the word by now is, those are sad words. You mean I could have been teaching? Yeah. In other words, when we look at this text that we're looking at, loved one, are you making disciples? If you've been a Christian, let's just put a big number, 10 years. Are you sharing the gospel? Do you know how to share the gospel? You know, or an easy one. If you've been a believer for 10 years and you have little children that you're, you know, are you opening up the Word of God and teaching them? Well, you should be. You ought to be teachers by now. Your teens, you ought to be teaching them by now, teaching them how to pray, opening the Word of God to them and so forth. Even the Bible says, what in Titus, that the older women should be teaching the younger women. Remember? All those things. Go to Deuteronomy 6 and you'll see, man, what was the command that the second generation? What was the command God told Moses to tell the second generation before they entered the promised land? To teach your children. Pass it down. Amen? Oh, listen, so that's so important today. But in context, this is what you need to see now. In context, and I'll be using that word several times this morning. In context here, they had their specific hearing problem was about one person. It was about Jesus Christ and his heavenly unfinished work now in heaven and about the great high priesthood. And here's a question that I'll ask all of us. You know, are you satisfied right now in your walk? Are you satisfied with what you know about Jesus Christ, our great high priest? Are you satisfied right now with what you know and believe about the throne of grace? Yeah, I've explored it. I'm sorry. Well, if you are satisfied, Christian, listen, it is not the Holy Spirit who has satisfied you. The Holy Spirit, again, he wants to show you the deep things of God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and you'll find out what I'm talking about, the deep things of God. And they can only be spiritually discerned, loved one. The Spirit shows you. So here, they needed milk again. Now, instead of being strong Jewish believers, which they were, now they're weak again. In other words, the dull, they were dull. They were not maturing. So let's set this up now. Whenever you hear milk or solid food, here's what I want you to keep in your mind. Milk, as we study, always refers to what Christ did on earth, his earthly ministry, what Christ has done, past tense, meaning all the things that we've learned in the Gospels. Now, that's what milk is. Whenever we're saved, we begin learning about our Lord. We learn his sermons and all the miracles and all the things that he did. We learn about the virgin birth and going to the cross and his death, the empty tomb, the ascension, all of those things. We never outgrow milk. You hear me? Milk is beautiful. The milk of the Word is beautiful. We never outgrow milk, but you cannot continue on milk or you will never grow. You have to get into the solid food of the Word. See, is Jesus Is he still on the cross? No. Is Jesus, is he in the tomb? No. Jesus is in heaven. What does it say in chapter 1, verse 3? It says, after he himself had purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus is there for you and me right this very minute. Listen, so the milk of the word refers to what Jesus has done. We can learn all of those things, and we need to always keep going back to it and renewing our mind to it. But when we come to the solid food, it refers what Jesus is doing in his heavenly ministry as our great high priest, what he's doing right now. Listen, our great high priest, as we've already learned, he is not only the heir of all things, he is not only the creator of all things, he the sustainer of all things, he is not only the express image of God, the exact representation of God because he is God. No, listen, loved one, listen, Jesus is better than anything. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. And he is definitely better than the Levitical priesthood. Amen? Amen. Now, we've learned all of those things. Our great high priest is alive, the God-man. He is sitting there on the throne of grace right this minute. And the Bible says that he, our great high priest, he is able to save to the uttermost. That word means completed, completely finished, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Amen? Listen, he's saving you right now. Do you want to know what he's doing? He's saving you right now. He's praying for you right now. He has been interceding on the throne of grace for his church for 2,000 years. Are you listening to me? Now, I don't understand all of that, but I know this. When somebody says, Bill, I'm going to be praying for you, I say, okay, thank you. But if they don't, I know one who is. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Oh, he is our great high priest. He passed through the heavens after he tasted death, after he defeated the one who had the power over death. Listen, the one who will never leave us. And what is he doing right now? Let me tell you what he's doing. Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here it comes about Jesus, that he makes making you or make you complete. Isn't that wonderful that we are complete in him, the Bible says? Amen? Man, he says, I'm going to make you complete. That word means, it means to equip like a battleship, okay? It means that everything you need right now, tomorrow, he's equipping you with. He says, make you complete in every good work. The good works are the ones God has chosen before the foundation of the earth for us. Amen? And he says, every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. That's our Lord. Listen, look at verse 13. For everyone, that means there's no exceptions, everyone, every believer who partakes or uses only of milk, if you have an exclusive milk diet, okay, it says is unskilled or inexperienced in the word of righteousness, meaning the word that was spoken by his son. Remember in chapter 1, it says in these last days that God has spoken to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It also says in chapter 2, verse 3, I think it is, of Hebrews, not for us not to neglect so great a salvation, that which was first spoken by our Lord. That word of righteousness, man. He says, look at it again. For everyone who partakes of only milk, unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a what? He's a baby. He's a babe. Now listen, is milk vital for every believer? Yeah, of course. Listen, the new birth, we were all babes in the beginning. Man, we need milk. You can't give a little baby. I mean, if you had a little baby in your arms and they don't have any teeth, you know what I'm saying? They need it. They can't eat T-bone steak. You have to put some milk in there, right? Now listen, so they desire milk, and they'll let you know they desire it too. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, the new birth, it says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Crave that milk, the pure word of God, meaning not the watered down version you hear today, the sincere, pure word of the word of God where you can grow thereby. What does it say in Romans 12:2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen? You renew your mind to the Word of God. The last letter that Peter wrote, he said in 2 Peter, I think, is 3:18. He says, but grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow into those things. Have you grown in grace? Are you matured in grace? Do you know that God loves you and that right now you stand in grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned, divine favor of the living God forever and ever and ever? By grace you have been saved. Amen? I say, oh God, you're so good to me. What did Jesus say about the Word, how we grow? He said in Matthew 4:4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Paul the Apostle, writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, talking about every word of God, every scripture is God-breathed. We need it. It equips us. It completes us. Amen. For every good work. Without God's word, we're not complete. We're not equipped. Now, so with all that being said, it is absolutely impossible for any Christian, no matter who you are, you never will grow apart from the Word of God. No matter how much you serve, no matter that you never miss a church service, you will be a baby until you get some solid food. Amen? Amen. There's no way around it. Now, it says there, if you only use milk, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. Let's look at it from this perspective. If you are just on a milk diet, and that's all, the baby things, okay? Well, you are unskilled, loved one, in the word of righteousness, which means this, you're unskilled. You don't know that you've been fully acquitted, okay? Righteousness, fully acquitted. Listen, the word justification or propitiation or sanctification or imputation, those words are too big for a baby. They don't know what those words mean. I told the early service, the great doctrine of justification, I never heard from the pulpit, never anyone teach that as I was coming up. Never. But when I fell into that and I understood it, can I tell you that it changed my life? You see, babies, they don't understand that. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly about the righteousness. And that righteousness that we have, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, and God made him who knew no sin, meaning Jesus, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means that when that happened, it means that God said, I declare you justified, and meaning that just as if you have never sinned because you placed your trust in Christ Jesus. And then imputation means, that word means to take what belongs to another and put it into your account. So God, what does he do? He takes a spotless, sinless, perfect record of Christ Jesus, and he puts it into your account. And when he sees you as righteous as his son. Can the righteousness of God be changed? No, neither can yours. Now, that's your position, of course, not our practice, all right? Now, but then if you understand that, then you're growing up. See, the Bible is very clear, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Jesus paid it all. Are you listening to me? Oh, and I say, oh God, you're so good. See, but if you're a baby, you got to go back to the nursery, and they're going to open a little coloring book. And they're going to say, now this is Jesus, or this is Moses. Well, what are those tablets? That's the Ten Commandments. Just color them in. I love you, but I'm telling you, it's such a need today. Listen, there comes a time when you have to make a change. If you're not, the Holy Spirit's not working in your life. No, he is, but you're resisting him. There comes a time when you say, okay, I am on a milk diet, but I've got to have some solid food, man. I've got to add that to my diet. And if you don't, you're never going to mature. See, a babe in Christ is a believer not growing to maturity. You're still on the bottle. The word babe there literally means a little child who has not developed words yet to put into a sentence.
Today, we've learned that spiritual growth isn't just an option. It's an expectation. We must not let our hearts become sluggish and dull of hearing. Amen? Well, join us next time when Pastor goes deeper into this passage of Scripture with part two of The Third Warning. We really appreciate you listening today, and we'll look for you again tomorrow. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.